Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Here's a few minutes of my discussion with Jenny Simmons. You write so eloquently just about that we need to embrace this holy awareness so we can experience not only healing for ourselves, but have Him use us to allow others to experience healing as well. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There are so many moments where I think the Holy Spirit is prompting us, like, hey, go give groceries to this family. Or I know it doesn't make sense, but write a check for $57 and hand it to this man. Or, you know, ask this girl about her mother. I mean, whatever it is, I believe the Holy Spirit, one of the best ways God heals here and now is by prompting us to be healing agents to one another. And so if we're in tune and we're listening for that voice and we're willing to act on it, I think that's how we see God's hands and feet at work around us. And I know for myself, there's a lot of times I miss those moments because I'm too busy or it doesn't fit in the schedule or I'm worried about the budget or, you know, fill in the blank. We have so many reasons that we hear that little voice and we put it aside and think, I'll do it in 2 weeks or I'll do it after the craziness of this weekend. And I think, though, the world would be a different place and we would see a little bit more of just God's goodness and His mercy on display if we would act on those Holy Spirit moments the second that they're laid upon us.
You know, one of the brilliant parts of your writing is that you kind of turn that word holy on its head as well and talk about how we are all holy, H-O-L-E-Y. But talk about that, how you came to that realization and how that factors into your life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I think that realizing that I had holes, you know, like little gaps and things that weren't all complete was probably the best part of my spiritual journey, because before then, I didn't realize my need for God's grace and His mercy. And again, it was, for me, a lot of eye-opening in my 20s. I got married super, super young to a guy who was night and day different than me. And we're about to celebrate our 15-year anniversary, so we have weathered the storms, but the fact that we made it out of our 20s is a miracle. And so there were just so many things that I all of a sudden started realizing, oh, I'm broken in a lot of ways. I have a lot of holes that need healing. And it was when I realized that and then at the same time realized that I was still God's beloved. Like, that He still looked at me and called me His daughter, His chosen one, the one that He loves. For me, it all of a sudden became this invitation to go deep with this God who said, I see these holes in you, and yet I love you, and you are my daughter, and I am pleased with you. And for me, it was this invitation to take His hand and journey through some of that healing, because I could do it safely knowing that the person I was following created me and made me in His image and cared for me.
One of the main points of your book, and I think things that I seem to hear people say, is that they might pray for some healing to take place or for a miracle to take place. And when it doesn't happen, that's when they kind of give up on God or say, well, God doesn't really see me. He doesn't hear my prayers. He doesn't listen to me. And yet you write that just because God doesn't instantly heal, that doesn't mean He's not in the process of making us well. So what does it look like as people of faith to grow those deeper roots of faith? How can people actually do that?
You know, for me, I began just praying a prayer, and I started saying, God, I need to see You at work around me. Like, just help me to live with open eyes. And it was another way of using the word holy, like we talked about before. But I started praying for a holy awareness, because I had enough glimpses that God is at work around us, and it wasn't always the way that I thought it was going to be. But it was different ways. And I think the problem was I just wasn't looking for those other ways. And I think that's human. I think, you know, we're really looking for these sort of short-term quick fixes that are this side of heaven and that are the things that we really, really want to see happen, but they don't always. But so we get consumed, I think, with just praying for like one certain answer. And what I realized in the loss of my sister's daughters was that God was healing in lots of ways, but they were on the periphery, and they were things that I wasn't necessarily looking for. And so when I really got kind of wind of that, like when I figured out, oh, wait a minute, God is so faithful, and He's healing me in this way, and this way, and this way, and I just wasn't looking for those ways, I began to pray, God, okay, if this is how You work, help me to wake up each day and just to have ears that are open and eyes that are open. And so I would encourage anybody listening and, you know, thinking, I didn't see God answer the prayer the way I thought it was, maybe start asking God, what are the other ways that you're showing up? What are the other ways that you're making me well and healing me? And all of a sudden, those ways became, and they were like everywhere. Everywhere I turned and looked, I heard a song, or I saw a bird, or a person came at just the right time with a casserole, or, you know, fill in the blank, these moments that, no, they weren't the grand miracle that we were really, really hoping and praying for. And yet they were these tiny examples of God's mercy and kindness and his healing hand on our lives over and over and over again. Mm.
You know, you speak about casseroles, and I have to giggle a little bit because your chapter on receiving gifts just makes me think about anyone who's really independent or struggles with stubborn self-sufficiency, which is what I call an actual condition. But receiving yes. gifts allows us to see God and how he's working in a different way. How have you found that to be true?
Oh, my gosh. Well, even now more than ever, it's so funny. You write a book or you write a song and you think it's for other people. And then it comes back and you're like, oh, wait a minute. That was for me. And so even with my daughter being born 2 months ago, I ended up having a last minute C-section that I was not planning on at all. And so I came home and realized really quickly I couldn't do the things that I was used to doing for myself. Even in the hospital, the way the nurses took care of me, in the beginning I was so uncomfortable. I thought, oh my gosh, I shouldn't need somebody to help me to the bathroom. And yet there I was, like, eating my own words, realizing that, oh, I have a whole chapter on those things that we learn about ourselves and about God when we have to rely on other people. And that's mercy. That's this idea of this grace and mercy, like unmerited. I can't pay for it. There's nothing I can do to earn it. There's nothing I can do to lose it. This nurse is helping me to the bathroom no matter what. Or this friend is showing up at my front door and saying, hey, I'm here. I'm going to do your laundry. Sit down. Those moments have been hard for me the past few months. And yet they've been the very healing balms that have given me a chance for my body to recover and my soul to recover and just giving me chances to be a mom. And so I think when we shut those moments out and just say, no, I got it. I can take care of it. No, you know, we limit ourselves from really seeing the love of Christ that others want to show us.
I also remember having my first child when people just, they start bringing you things, whether it's food or gifts, or they just show up with things that you need that you didn't know that you needed. And and I just remember someone coming who had already had two children. She's one of my very dear friends now, but I just said, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I just did not know what you're supposed to do when someone has a baby.
Right.
You know, please let me lavish some gifts on you now. Mm. And she was just like you just said, just so humble about it. And she said, but that's what you get to do when you've been given so much, then you get to give. And so has receiving all of those things that you didn't even know that you needed changed the way then that you give to others?
Oh gosh. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you walk through things different once you've lived it. And so I think even it's a gift to be able to be on the other side of suffering and be able to walk with people through that too, because, you know, there's things that you don't know. You know, for instance, before somebody dies close to you, if you've never walked through that before, you kind of shy away from people that are walking through death. You don't know what to say. You don't know if you're supposed to bring a gift or not, or, you know, or is it okay to cry? And what I found walking through that year of just loss after loss is that the most important thing was that people just showed up. We didn't care if they showed up bawling their eyes out with us or if they showed up and kind of took charge, you know, like, here's what needs to happen at the house, or they just showed up. And so I've learned from a lot of those things and been like, oh, okay. So when somebody is walking through tragedy, one of the best things I can do is not say, hey, do you need something? It's just to show up with what I think they might need. And the act of showing up in itself is a gift.
Well, it does. I sometimes laugh about those things where I think, well, God, you just showed me something new. I didn't have an idea. So, oh, I hear your sweet little girl with you. Is she there right next to you?
She is.
Love those sounds.
I'm sorry. She's Yeah, she's starting to make her little noises.
Oh, no apologies necessary. It's beautiful. Well, great conversation with Jenny Simmons. If you'd like to hear the full show with her, you can check out our website, myfaithradio.com.